In the name of the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Each Sunday after the great Amen, which is the Amen that concludes the Eucharistic prayer, the presider invites the gathered faithful to pray with these words. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say. Those first few years that I spent in the Episcopal Church, that word bold really jumped out to me. I didn't know why all of a sudden we were being bold. We'd been praying for a while at that point, and we were going to continue praying, and yet what was bold about what we were going to do? Has this ever struck you? You ever thought about this? I hope I'm not alone, or it's going to be a long day for you. And to add to my confusion, we were heading into the foundational prayer of the Christian faith and life. It's one of the first prayers I learned when I came into the church. It's one of the first prayers we teach our children. And it's one of the prayers that at Grandma's funeral, even Cousin Joe, who hasn't been to church in 2 decades, when the rest of the room starts praying, Our Father, even Cousin Joe can join in that prayer. But with the use of the word bold, the church is trying to tell us something, trying to tell us that we're going to do something different, something radical, something worth paying attention to. The Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, is one of the most repeated prayers in the liturgical life, in the life of the disciple, and yet we don't really spend a whole lot of time talking about it. So during this season of Lent, each sermon will spend some time going deeper into different aspects or petitions of this prayer that Jesus himself gave us, which is probably a good place to start. This is the prayer that Jesus taught us. This is the prayer he gives us. The giving of the Lord's Prayer occurs in 2 places in the gospel. First, in Matthew's gospel, it's given within the context of the Sermon on the Mount, and there Jesus is saying to his hearers, don't be hypocrites. The temptation when you pray to say a lot of things is real. Avoid it. Just pray this. Don't be like those who heap up meaningless phrases in their prayer. Say this simple prayer. In Luke's gospel, the disciples come to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray. And this is the prayer that Jesus gives them, though, mind you, in Luke's version, it's a little shorter. And as I mentioned earlier, this prayer is foundational in the Christian life. Because of its repetition in the daily office, in the Eucharist, because of its ecumenical nature, I assure you, my siblings in Christ, that right now, someone, somewhere, is praying Our Father. Every minute, every moment, every second of each day, a faithful pair of lips is saying Our Father. In beginning this dominical prayer with the phrase Our Father, Jesus is teaching us that our prayers are not just about us. We are presuming to pray on behalf of all humanity, on behalf of all creation, Our Father. God does not belong just to us. God belongs to all. We have no private household gods. We have direct access to God in our prayers, but God is not only invested in our good, but rather God is invested in the good, in the flourishing of the whole of creation. That's the reality within which we make our prayer. In offering us this prayer, Jesus is teaching us that God wants to have a parental relationship with us. which for some of us is easy to grasp, and for others it is challenging. Not all of us have had easy relationships with our fathers. Not all of us have had easy relationships with our mothers. And if that's true for you, if this prayer of being asked to call God Father is a struggle, that's okay. There's no part of this life that's too big for us to struggle with. But if it is a struggle, I ask you to struggle with it and not just set it aside. This prayer is too foundational to just be set aside. God is our Father. God is our mother. God is our parent with a depth and a truth more real than the most loving and caring earthly parent. God as father, as mother, as parent is the model by which we should measure our own parents and by which we should measure our own parenting. In inviting us to call God Father, Jesus is inviting us to have a personal relationship with the Trinity. He is inviting us to be knit to the heart of the one who formed us in the womb. He is inviting us to be intimately involved with the one who is beyond comprehension, the one who gives and sustains life, the one who weeps with us every tear that falls from our eyes. Jesus is promising us a depth of relationship with God never known before. It is a relationship that exists in the ideal. Our Father, who art in heaven. Jesus came here to be with us in the finite so that we might be with him in the infinite in heaven. From within the muddle of human existence, Jesus is calling us to be in the harmony of eternity, in that kingdom where there is no death, nor sorrow, nor crying, but only the fullness of joy with all the saints. The Lord's Prayer, at its core, is a prayer of relationship between Creator and created. It is a distillation of everything that Jesus taught, and a pledge of sustenance for the journey. Over each of the next 4 weeks, we will go a little deeper into different aspects of this prayer, though I confess to you, my friends, that we will not cover every dot and tittle. The church, after 2,000 years, is still finding new things to say about this prayer, and the chances of Patricia and I exhausting it in the next 5 weeks are slim. Next week, our dear assistant rector will take up the phrase, "Give us each day our daily bread." But until then, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."